live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and David Garrard.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome in. It's Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey, David Garrard, Fat Tony here with you on this Thursday morning, live from Everbank Field. Big Dave, feels like it's been a while. Has it been a while?
It's been too long.
How long has it been? It's probably only been a couple weeks. It seems like it's been a month since we've seen you in here.
Well, I haven't seen you guys since last year, so.
Is that right? That's true. 2014. You got your retro fitness gear.
Oh, yeah. Right, we're open, baby.
Holy smokes.
We're open.
That looks sharp, Tony.
Yeah, thank you.
It does.
I bet they got that in 2X.
I got to get you guys fitted.
I bet they got that in 2X is what I'm talking about right there. How's things? How was the new year for you?
It's been going great.
Yeah.
Gym just opened up yesterday, so that's pretty much my focus right now, that and family.
Mr. Entrepreneur.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Early start here. Taking in the NFL playoffs, I assume.
Oh, absolutely.
Watch some
great games.
College playoff, too?
All of it.
Good, because we want to get into all those quarterbacks today in terms of the NFL. Jags, offensive coordinator vacancy, a lot to dig into.
A lot of things. I love it.
Well, I thought this weekend, you say, such great football. Best weekend of football in the playoffs I can remember in a while. I mean, the divisional round, you're supposed to get the best eight teams out there. But, boy, I thought every game lived up to it this week.
Yeah, you know, especially that Patriots-Baltimore game. I mean, I'm just thinking, wow, the Patriots are going to lose this game. Oh, no, they're actually going to win. Oh, no, they're going to lose this game. They actually won the game.
You know what's funny about that, Dave? You get a game like that, and it was well played for the most part. Nobody said, man, those defenses stunk, right? Yeah. I mean, they didn't, because you didn't care. You were impressed by the offensive execution in the game.
Yeah.
I've said it all week. I was so impressed with the protection that these quarterbacks got almost across the board from all eight teams this week. And it really continues to impress upon me the need to fix that group here in Jacksonville.
You have to, because if your quarterback is nervous standing in the pocket because he just thinks anybody can let anybody go free, then he's not going to be able to stand in there and just deliver all these passes. I mean, you got somebody like Tom Brady who just gets back there, and we always say he gets back there and bakes a cake a lot of times. Now, he's a really good guy that moves in the pocket. He's a quarterback that he's not taking off and running around on you. He can if he has to. He scored a touchdown, but
yeah,
he is just always just moving slightly in that pocket, just giving himself a little extra room, but his O-line always gives him a pocket. You know, you don't see that guy just get whipped and then come in there and tattoo him. You never see that kind of stuff. So it gives him just that comfort to know that when I drop back, I can find my target, get the ball out on time, and get a completion.
By the way, I'll give you credit, because your logo for Retro Fitness on your jacket here that I'm looking at, it's kind of like a red and yellow, kind of a burgundy and gold. You're in that range. You got the matching Cavs hat. I'm taking that's the Cavs hat, because I haven't seen the front of it, but I'm taking it based on the color scheme. I give you credit for wearing that these days.
I know. It's tough. It is. That is a brutal.
I mean, if you're going to bandwagon a team, at least you're staying on the wagon.
Well, I'm a LeBron fan, and they need him back. He's back now, but they need a little bit more, too.
They need a lot more. Does he need to shove the coach out of the way more or less?
He should have shoved them up into the stands and
tell
him to sit in the stands.
Let's promote
and just let
else.
LeBron coach.
Unbelievable, man. We got so many things to touch on today. Have you been watching any movies lately?
I went and saw Taken 3.
And
I loved it.
You did?
I did. I loved it. I thought it was great. I just feel like there's going to be up to Taken 12.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he's going to be coming from the wheelchair, still saving people. I mean, but he's great. And the thing is, he warns you. He lets you know that, you know, if you're going to do this, you're going to have to pay.
Right. You could get out of this now. There'll be no repercussions.
Yeah.
I won't kill all of your people. Just give me what
I
want.
What was so unrealistic to me was his scene of the car crashes down the highway. Of all the innocent people that were probably killed along the way, if this was a real life type situation,
right,
that nobody even got on him about.
Was it one of the deals where, now I haven't seen it yet, I will watch it, but was it one of those deals like on TV a lot of times, if it's if they're trying to avoid a certain level of rating, they always pan back and show you the guy climbing out of the car, right?
They did show that. There were people in the street that were like, jumped out of the car and ran down into the ditch to save themselves from another car flipping on top
of
them.
But
yeah,
of course.
Like that would happen.
I saw American Sniper.
I want to see that.
Phenomenal. Okay,
that's you're like number 100.
Holy cow. Awesome. Was that good? I mean, wow. I mean, it made me want to go and list.
They didn't give everything away with the guy on the roof and the little boy carrying.
Oh, not even close. That's like in the first 10 minutes of the movie.
Oh,
nothing's given away.
Okay, good.
Trust me. Nothing's
given
away.
Is this the best part of the movie here?
No, I know, right? Yeah. They did a really good job of the trick because you're like, all right, it's going to be life or death. Does he shoot the boy? Does he not shoot the boy?
Yeah.
And I'm not going to even tell
Please don't.
I already told Tony something that wasn't in the movie,
right,
relating to the real life story of this guy.
And I've been avoiding like any like life spoilers with this guy. It's like I've been avoiding since I heard about American Sniper. All right, I want to know nothing about this guy until I go in, and then maybe I'll read the book after I see the movie, because reading books ruins your experience of watching movies because they just can't live up to whatever you read in that book. But
I don't know.
Very much looking forward to seeing American Sniper tomorrow.
This seemed like, I can't imagine how good the book was, because this seemed incredibly well done.
Yeah.
I mean, just incredibly well
done. Yeah, everyone said it looked like Eastwood got his fastball back.
There was nothing that you point to me in that movie in it that was like, wow, I would have done just that little bit differently. I mean, like I said, hoorah, man. I was ready to go enlist. I wish I had some knees still and maybe 20 years of youth back on my side, man. It was fantastic. For me, I don't know, everyone will react differently. I was thinking about the military a lot last night, like the sacrifice
Absolutely.
That these guys made.
Mental stress that that one scene right there.
Oh my goodness, Dave.
How do you come back and just live a normal life from that?
And that's a big part of the movie, because, you know, I don't want to give anything away. You could probably figure out some of the general themes of the movie, I guarantee you, if you don't know the story, in its entirety, movie will surprise you greatly.
Wow.
I mean, it was fantastic. Oscar nominations just came out today. And
they
that's
did.
One of the best picture nominees. We'll run them down a little bit later on. I think I've only seen that one out of the 8 best picture nominees. They throw a pretty wide net these days on best picture.
Well, some of them are usually a little weird that I know I would never go see, but.
Yeah. what about, this didn't make, best picture, but Inherent Vice. Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it. It looks like it might be a little too much for me.
It was. I liked it.
I heard you talking about it.
It's a little trippy. It's a good mystery, and it's real. It's more to me. It was more like a mood piece, like a time capsule piece of a certain place in a certain time and what life was like.
I feel like I might get contact just by
you
watching
would definitely
it.
Get a contact buzz. There would be a contact buzz going on as far as that goes. Who are the new head coaching candidates, or the offensive coordinator candidates here in Jacksonville? Ones that have been named as potentials here. We saw Doug Marrone of the Buffalo Bills, former head coach of the Buffalo Bills, who just resigned.
Yeah.
I don't know enough about him to weigh in and say if he'd be a good candidate or not. I don't know how players would react or if they'd even care.
Think players would care. If he's the coordinator, they wouldn't care.
They wouldn't care that he left the way
he comes in as a head coach, that's different. I think they would care more because he just left a team, just walked away from them. But as an offense coordinator, I mean, you're under a head coach, so they just want to be really good on offense. That's all. As long as you bring them a scheme that they can really enjoy and really put points on the board and everybody feel like they're a part of something that's going to be special, that's all they care about.
What about Aaron Kromer, the Chicago offense coordinator? Remember, he was a guy who had the tearful apology to Jay Cutler and the Bears because he made some.
Now, I think they would care about that.
See,
kind
they
of
would care. That's what I think too, because it's my understanding that Gus likes Kromer, but I don't think that would be. I think he's too radioactive right
now.
Well,
I think they would care, but I think he would have to come in and not give another tearful apology. But he would have to come in and you know, if he's hired as the coach, he would sit down with, you know, in a team meeting setting and let the guys know that he is all about them and really get across to them that, you know, he has everybody's back. He's not throwing people under the bus, which, you know, it'd be kind of tough, but players, they don't care. As long as you come in, like I said, with a great scheme, something they can buy in and feel like they're going to be better as an offense, that's all they're worried about.
Another one, Adam Gase is a guy, Big Cat Country, said that, they reported on Jeff Darlington's tweet, I guess it was, the Jags, he's told, Jeff Darlington said, with head coaching gigs suddenly fleeting, teams with offensive coordinator jobs see opportunity. I'm told the Jaguars would like to talk with Adam Gase, who, of course, was the Broncos' offensive coordinator, still could be in play for their head coaching job. It seems like if they really wanted him, they would have pursued him aggressively immediately. Once they decided to part ways with John Fox, they let him continue to interview with San Francisco. Not that they could stop him, but I think they could. If he wanted to stay and they wanted him, I think it would have been a good marriage. I think the easy knock is, well, that's Peyton Manning's offense.
Yeah.
But by that token, well, then what about Jim Caldwell? He's a good coach, right? I mean, just because you worked with Peyton Manning doesn't mean you can't be a good coach on your own merit. I'm not saying I know that he is, but I'm not saying you can dismiss the idea that he would be a good offensive mind to bring in here.
Yeah, I think even if you're working with Peyton, you can take a lot of the things that he does, a lot of the knowledge that he has, and how his offense has been so successful. So if that's the case, then of course this coordinator can come in and say, hey, this is the things that Peyton does. These are the ways that he's been able to be successful. So let's try to do those things. And if you do that, you can talk about offensive coordinators all you want. If you don't have the players to get it done, it doesn't matter. Just like Jed Fish, I thought it was amazing that they fired him. He had 7 rookies that he had to work with on offense. I mean, I'm not trying to say that he didn't have his flaws too, but give the guys some pieces to work with.
Well, I think that's certainly a legitimate part of the argument. I think from Gus Bradley's standpoint, what he is – try to explain his point of view on that. You could take it and accept it or not. That's your prerogative. But he said, you know, that I think I got the feeling that, you know, 1 week it's this, 1 week it's that, 1 week it's this. Let's simplify this. Let's find out what Blake does well. Let's continue to let's stress that right now. Maybe you get to a point 3 years down the road where you're Bill Belichick and every week you have a different game plan, right?
Yeah.
But for right now, let's focus on building a stronger running game, working play action off of that, using Blake's mobility in conjunction with that with some of those rollouts, much like the Texans would do,
yeah,
and things
so
like that.
So maybe he just
years.
Wanted a different scheme. It wasn't really that, you know, Jed wasn't a good offensive coordinator. He just, philosophies were a little different. He wanted a different scheme. I just think, man, you give this guy offense that has, you know, very limited in a lot of different areas, and then you fire him at the end of the year because he didn't get the job done. I mean, you really didn't give him much to work with. But if it's a philosophy thing, if it's a scheme thing, and you want to move in a different direction because he doesn't want to do those things, or he's better at doing X, Y, and Z, and you want A, B, and C done, then that's a different reason why you get rid of this guy. And so maybe they're trying to find a guy that will adhere to more of Gus's feelings about what should be out there on the field. It should be more run game. It should be more play action. If that's the case, you want a guy like, not saying Kubiak would come here or anything, but you want that kind of scheme where it's a lot of zone reads, a lot of play action off the zone runs, something like you're saying in Texas. But once again, if you got the pieces here, you can run any scheme, any system you want. It's all about the players making it happen.
If you want to get in today with David Garrard, talk Jaguars, talk offensive coordinator vacancy, talk playoffs, you want to talk
playoffs.
If you want to talk about these young quarterbacks now declaring for the NFL draft, to get your opinion on all these young guys, including Cardale Jones,
yeah,
who's got to decide, I guess today, I think, is the deadline.
It is.
For that, Mariota officially opted in. He's a physical beast. Mind anyone of a beer truck at all? Just a little bit.
A little taller.
Just a little bit. He is a little bit
taller. He's got a lift kit on his beer truck.
Greg Jones retiring officially as a member of the Jaguars today. We'll talk about that. And Mel Kiper's got his first mock draft out. Also today, fan feedback spotlight. Today's the anniversary of Super Bowl I. The first Super Bowl I ever played wasn't called that at the time. I think it was by year 3 they started really calling it the Super Bowl, but the NFL-AFL championship game, or the AFL-NFL championship game, however it was viewed back then, was played on this date in 1967. So with that, the Foundation Professionals of Florida fan feedback spotlight asking you today, what is your favorite single all-time favorite Super Bowl game and or moment in a Super Bowl. Share your thoughts with us on Twitter at MD_1010XL, at David Garrard 9, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Tyler. Of course, you can post at Facebook.com/Jaguars Today as well if you want to weigh in on that. Mike Dempsey, David Garrard, Fat Tony here with you. We're live in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field. Jaguars Today just getting rolling on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, here we go. Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, David Garrard here with us. First time in 2015, not the last time. Certainly repping his brand new Retro Fitness. He's probably give us some details. Where is it open?
It's open at San Pablo and Atlantic Boulevard in Harbor Village Shopping Center. It's a Stein Mart Fresh Market Shopping Center. Used to be a place called Big Air, a little bouncy house place.
And so
we're in that space now. It's a beautiful facility. We have a mezzanine with cardio machines upstairs. We have a cardio theater where you can go in. We had Transformers on yesterday, so you can go in and get on your bike. Had a little old lady that was saying, I just love that cardio theater. I was watching that Transformers movie and 20 minutes had gone by, and I didn't even realize I was on the bike.
Well, there you go. She should watch Inherent Vice. That's a long movie.
Yeah.
You'll lose 50 pounds if you watch Inherent Vice. It's 2.5 hours, man. American Sniper clocked in at about 2:10, I think.
That's awesome.
If it's good,
yeah.
Keep going if it's good. Yeah. Exactly right. Hey, let's talk about a couple of newsy things here as it pertains to the Jags and the National Football League. One, your former teammate, Greg Jones.
Yeah.
Got to be happy for this guy.
Absolutely.
He's a guy that, man, at one point you thought he was going to be a tremendous tailback.
Yeah.
And, you know, had the ACL injuries and, you know, sapped him probably of some of his explosiveness. But, boy, that strength, that physique. I don't know if I've ever seen a physique like that in professional football.
Well, funny quick story just about his physique, basically, is, you know, he'd walk through the locker room, and we have a lot of fit guys on the team. Most of the team is fit. But whenever he would walk through with his shirt kind of over his shoulder and, you know, no shirt on, we're like, everybody would be like, why you got to do that? Why you got to walk through the locker room with your shirt? Can you put your shirt on, please?
Right.
You're making everybody in the locker room feel bad.
All these pro athletes are shamed by...
And it was another sad part is he doesn't even have to work that hard at it. I mean, he works no more, maybe a little bit more than everybody else, but not much. Not much where you see, like, these amazing results. It's not like I could go in there and do just a little bit more than him and look like him. I wouldn't even get close.
Right.
So, I mean, it was really just God-given.
It really was, because he even said he'd eat whatever he wanted to.
Yeah.
You got to work out, too, and if you're working that hard, you're going to burn that stuff off.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like he was on some crazy diet or anything like that, man.
No.
And just a tough guy.
Yeah. I just go back to his time when he was at Florida State, and he ran that guy over.
Which one?
At Carolina.
Oh, that one. Dexter Reed.
Oh, my God. Is that guy still alive? I'm not even sure.
Well, now that you say that, maybe I shouldn't bring up the one time he ran over Sean Taylor, but go see that one. I mean, obviously not connected, but he trucked Sean Taylor, put him flat on his back.
Sean Taylor
had him squared up, open field, mano-a-mano, and left him flat on his back. He was that kind of guy.
I remember plays where I would hand the ball off to Mojo, and he'd lead up through the hole, and you would just see linebackers just duck out of the way. They didn't even want to take him on.
Mm.
I mean, he's just a solid guy, and he played up to that level too. He never shied away from a hit or anything.
And when he left, Tony, they wanted him back.
They did.
That year. He took a little bit less money because he was at the end of his career.
He wanted a better situation. Yeah, he wanted a new city, a new team, just something different. You know, there's something about when you're in a city or on a team for so long and you get towards the end of your career, you're like, what else is out there? Just let me see something a little bit different. Even when I got down to Miami, you know, I love Jacksonville. Jacksonville is our home. It was just different being in a huge city, a city that, you know, had totally different demographics. I mean, everything was – and it was different, too, also being a part of a team that had a big history.
Right.
I mean, the alumni that they have come in are guys that – I wasn't even watching football at that time, you know, so they're alumni or some, you know, really, really old guys. I'm not trying to talk about old people, but just older guys that I'm like, wow, I don't even remember you playing, but there you see their plaques up, their pictures up, And that was the same with New York. I mean, they went back even further. So a lot of those guys weren't even alive. You know, so that kind of stuff was pretty cool to be around. You know, so it's just something about being somewhere different, especially when you know you only have a few years left. You know, let me just go out and just see what else is out there.
Yeah, he's, I think, a well-liked guy by the fan base. I saw the reaction yesterday. I just tweeted out that news yesterday morning was overwhelming, how happy people were that he would come back. And a very short list of guys that have come back and gotten that one-day contract to officially retire. You could still got one foot in the league,
you know,
over here.
I'm done. So
official,
I'm hoping to get the paper signed and maybe you'll hear my name.
There you go. He's if you're looking for him, I know where to find him.
Okay.
what about your former head coach getting another gig? What do you think, Jack Del Rio, second time around? What lessons do you think he learned in his first tenure as a head coach in the National Football League?
Well, first of all, I think he's learned a lot. I think he has learned that you don't handle some positions the way that he's done it in the past. You know, the way that he got rid of Byron and then put me in here like kind of last second, and then for mine was even more last second. You know, so I think that eventually rubs your other players a little wrong. You know, there's way things are done. But I think he's learned a lot. I think he's learned still to be that player's coach, but yet, you know, keep guys held to a higher standard. And he would do that. But when he first got in, it was totally different, you know, as opposed to when he left. You could tell he was totally different as a coach and how much he put up with by the time he was leaving, because, you know, he felt the pressures of the job kind of getting away from him. So
he had a shorter,
much shorter leash with guys. You couldn't do certain things in the locker room. Like, he put a pool table in there and he put the ping pong table in there. And then at a certain point, he took those things out, you know? So now guys are like, you know, how do you go 5 or 6 years with us having these things in here? And now we can't have them, you know? So there has to be some sort of, this is, you know, where I am and this is where I'm going to stay. And I'm not going to let the rigors of the job make me turn into a different person.
It's tough to go that way.
It is.
And have the respect. It's easier to start as, you know, Coughlin started.
Yep.
I will harbor nothing outside of my authority, and then you can ease up as you go along. Jack was seen as a player's coach.
Exactly.
Coming in
and
then the other
started
way.
Heading that direction.
It's tough to
and
do.
So, yeah, and guys are like, I don't know what this is. I don't know how to, I don't know how to be coached by this person now because you're totally different. And, but I think he's learned that he has to just be him, you know, and I think with the time in Denver, the ability to step away from the head coaching position, he's going to be able to come in and probably set with a little more firmer, coaching style and then be able to ease up a little bit, because guys look at that as we're getting a little bit more of a reward as opposed we're getting reprimanded for, you know,
right,
not producing as much.
And word is, I saw yesterday, I think, that he'd like Mike Smith as his first preference to reunite with him out there. Last we heard, Smitty was headed to the Bahamas to drop a line or two in the water, and good for him.
I love that.
Enjoy a little downtime as he is unemployed temporarily, I'm sure. What about, like, week to week, day to day? I mean, that was one of the things with Jack that I think was one of the complaints I heard over the years, where he'd run hot and cold sometimes, you know, and it was on a almost, you know, it's one thing if you try to, all right, next year I'm going to come in, I'm going to be a little bit firmer, and you are consistent throughout the year. Did you run into that at times where week to week or even day to day sometimes you're like, which Jack are we going to get?
Yeah, a little bit. I think he, with the players, he was pretty decent. There were times when we were coming off of a bad loss, and I thought, man, we are just going to get it the next day. There's no way. And then he would actually be real level-headed and still upbeat, still excited about getting back out there on the practice field and getting better. And so he did a pretty good job of that. I think maybe sometimes with the media, maybe he was, you know, maybe a little more hot and cold, maybe. But with the players, I felt like he was still okay. I know some of the guys that weren't your, you know, top end guys, that they felt like he maybe wasn't there for them as much. Like, he didn't really acknowledge them as much. He wasn't always, you know, communicating with them, being upfront with them, that kind of stuff. But with his frontline guys, you know, he was, you know, had the backs always communicating, that kind of stuff. So,
And to be fair, Bill Parcells was like that his whole career.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was extremely successful, and people say, wow, well, Parcells a hell of a coach.
Yeah,
but
Parcells wasn't a player's coach.
No, he wasn't. You're right. But he was for certain guys. LT could get away with anything. And because he came on Sunday, go do your thing.
Yeah.
And so there were certain guys, his core guys, and that's life, man.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, and you're not going to be expecting your, you know, 53 man to get the same kind of love as, you know, your top five guys. So but not to be put off with them, not to be standoffish, not to not acknowledge them when you walk down the hallway, that kind of stuff.
It to that level?
And I don't know because I wasn't, you know,
right.
At that point, but you could hear that, man, you know, he doesn't care that I'm even, you know, in his presence, that kind of stuff. And I don't think he was a standoffish kind of guy. I think that he was very approachable. You know, but I just think he just always was thinking about the next thing. What can I do to help this team get better? How can I get these players better? You know, and so maybe sometimes if you weren't that frontline guy, he was, you know, still focusing on his, you know, his core guys.
What was his biggest strength, would you say, as a head coach?
The fact that he played, and when he would give you knowledge, even as offensive players, he may have not known all of our X's and O's, but he would help you from the defensive side. And so with that, he would be able to say, when we see offenses line up like this and run these particular plays, we know that we're vulnerable in these areas. We know that if you run at this guy and send another guy crossing his path, it's very hard for us to pick up both of those guys in that one zone. So try to attack that zone more. Now, he wouldn't, you know, design a play for you offensively, but he would help you so that you knew offensively, okay, I can design that play to attack that zone. So with that, he had good knowledge. He definitely had great knowledge of the defense.
There was a tweet. Tony Paschos tweeted this after Del Rio was hired. He said, I feel sorry for Raider players looking to get stronger. Jack's strength coach is a fraud. All talk, just a snitch for Jack. What do you make of that?
Wow.
I'm taking it Paschos wasn't one of Jack's guys.
Yeah, so well, there you go. So you can never please everybody. I'm not sure who the strength and conditioning coach is.
Who was your strength coach when Jack was here?
Well, we had a couple guys.
I don't know which one he's specifically referring to.
Yeah, I don't either. But all the guys I like, you know.
I mean, did guys have that feeling like, he was the principal and guys were going to get ratted out to him? I mean, was he a trusted guy, put it that way, in the locker room? I know that sometimes that inconsistency can lead to mistrust because you don't know what to expect. But did players generally trust Jack?
Well, I think they generally trusted Jack, but, you know, you're a head coach, so you can't always trust, but so much.
You're not the buddy.
Yeah, exactly, because, you know, you're still getting fired by that guy.
What about you, man? I mean, are you cool with Jack? Like, if you saw Jack right now, how would it be? Because it was...
Even when we were sitting in that meeting room in his office after the luncheon, and I just stepped off the bus... Thinking I'm going home to get ready for practice.
I'm starting quarterback of your Jacksonville Jaguars.
Starting quarterback. As I'm sitting in there and they're telling me that, you know, they're moving in a different direction, I told them, I said, you know, I have no ill will against you guys. I do wish this had been done on cut day because then I would have been just a normal, just every other player not being singled out here, you know, a day before practices are starting. The season's going to be starting. But I said, you know, if I see you in the streets, you don't have to cross to the other side. You know, I have no ill will towards you guys. So I still don't. You know, there are moments when I was looking for their defense in Denver to get, you know, maybe a few more extra points on them than normal. But, you know, that's just
human nature.
Yeah.
Man.
So, but no, I don't. When I do interviews, I say all the right things that I can about Jack. I do talk about my time with the luncheon. That's kind of really my only one negative that I have about him. But I still think he's a good coach. I still think he can get the best out of a team. Like you guys were saying, I think other guys have said it too on the radio station. You give him a little bit of a reprieve for his coaching because we were able to win even though we were limited, as a team.
I mean, Wayne Weaver was a lot tighter on the purse strings.
We kept waiting for those big top end weapons to come in, like here and there, and we thought, you know, they went and got. Gosh, I'm glad I got this guy's name out of my memory bank, but the receiver from Oakland.
Oh, Jerry Porter.
Jerry Porter. So we're thinking, okay, we got somebody with a little bit of a name, and turned out to be one of the biggest busts. But then they went and got Torrey Holt. So we kept getting those guys that were like coming off injuries,
end
maybe
of their
it's
career.
On their last leg,
right.
But we never got those young studs. And so that was one thing that I really wish we would have had. Of course, me being the quarterback, I wanted to have those kind of guys. And I like the Mike Thomases and the Jarrett Dillers. They were great guys, but they weren't the high-end, you know, stud guys. They weren't your Des Bryants. They weren't, you know, your Megatrons, those kind of guys. But we still won ball games. We still were at the end of the year, and teams, the media were talking about us. This is what you got to do to get into the playoffs. This is what you got to do now. We, last few years, we would – for some reason, get about three games out and need to win the like last two, and we wouldn't for whatever reason. And that may have been just because knowing that these are the last few years as a head coach, you're trying to like drive guys harder. You want them to practice a little bit longer, a little bit tougher. And so maybe they're getting a little bit more worn out by the end of the season. And I think that's another thing he's going to address too as a head
probably
coach.
Learn from that, yeah, you would think. All right. He is David Garrard, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you, and we'll continue to talk about everything going on around the National Football League, including the NFL playoffs coming up this weekend. We'll get into the quarterbacks here. How would you rank them? If you could take them right now the way they are this moment in time, how would you rank these four quarterbacks going into this weekend? I think I thought the better quarterback won every game last weekend. I don't think that'll necessarily be the case this time around. Hopefully we're going to get a pretty ridiculously good set of conference championship games. 641-1010 if you want to jump on board. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Here we go. Jaguars Today, Mike Dempsey, David Garrard, Fat Tony here with you. We're hoping to have Tony Pauline on today from Draft Insider. Didn't work out. He's at the East-West Shrine practices this week. We'll have him on, I'm sure, shortly. I had a long conversation yesterday with Dane Brugler from NFLDraftScout.com. So long, in fact, that we're going to try something. We haven't done a lot of, off-the-air audio stuff, and Tyler is going to give me a tutorial on how to post things on SoundCloud.
Teach an old dog a new trick.
I'm an old dog. There's no question about it, Tyler.
I don't know what that is.
It's basically a way to file share audio, and it's a free file sharing system.
Okay.
I know, like when
you've
I do
shows, you've
probably
seen it or used it and not even known it. Honestly, David.
I don't know if I've used it, but I know like when I do shows on Sirius, they'll pull audio cuts from that and post it on SoundCloud, and they'll tweet it out. And you can the great thing is it'll be in your tweet. You click it. And there's a player right in the tweet or on the face. You don't have to go to a separate web page. You click it right there in the tweet. So
is it like Quick Player or was that it?
Name of it? I don't know.
Pro
it's like.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
No, it's not exactly like that. Okay. It's SoundCloud. You'll know it when you see it.
Gotcha.
You'll be like, oh, I've seen that before.
Oh, yeah.
Now I know what you're talking
about. Well, anyway, we're going to post that. It was pretty long, almost 20-minute conversation, basically about the top players in the draft, the QBs, Jags potential targets. I'll spoil it by saying he thinks Leonard Williams is the best player, pure player in the draft, the defensive end out of USC. Asked him about Vic Beasley. I'll get a lot of questions about Vic Beasley. I've seen Vic Beasley shoot up these mock draft boards right now, kind of almost rehabilitated his stock a little bit. I think it's fluctuated at times, but I've seen a couple of mock drafts that have had him in the top 10. Mel Kiper's got one out that he put out his first mock draft of the season this morning. Obviously, these guys are not gospel, but it's just a baseline for a conversation. Got into Amari Cooper a little bit, the deepest positions, the weakest positions. So general starting point overview. So that'll get posted. Look for that on Twitter, and we'll also post it on the Jaguars Today Facebook page later today. And we'll try doing a few more of those. We'll have Matt Williamson on tomorrow, who's more of a pro personnel scout. He's a former scout with the Cleveland Browns. He works with ESPN.com. And we'll look at this free agent class coming up. And we'll get into that with you as well a little bit. some juicy names out there. A shopping list is easy to put together for the Jacksonville Jaguars. A wish list, man.
That is great. That's what we need to hear.
We need to hear it is right. We need to get it.
Yeah.
It's more important. 641-1010. Let's get Todd up here. He's got a question about the Jags for you, David. Hi, Todd. How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I'm happy you have David on today because, you know, I always respected Dave. I always respected you. I thought you were a great Jaguar. Back in the day, I mean, like you said, you didn't have the weapons. You're under constant pressure. You got sacked, I don't know how many times, and you always got up, always positive in the press and never throwing anybody under the bus. You were just like a great role model, you know, for my kids and that sort of thing. So I was really disappointed when they let you go. I thought you'd, regardless of what your role would have been moving forward, we needed you and could have used your experience. And then and I was really disappointed on how they let you go. I almost felt like you know, it was not classy the way they let you go, and you were such a classy guy. So I was glad you're on the radio just so we could say, you know, I could share that with you, because I've been disappointed ever since that happened. I think, you know, 4 years ago or something like that, 3 years ago. So.
All right, Todd,
I appreciate that.
Thanks. I take it you didn't have a question then about the Jags, as you indicated you might, but that's fine too. I'm sure. Hey, look, we get a ton of that every time you're on. I think you were, for a lot of people, one of their favorite players because of your personality as well as your play on the field. So.
I appreciate it. You know, I was just trying to be me, just trying to win ball games, really.
Let's see. I with that though, right at this moment, I'd rank you fifth if I put you in there with Brady, Rodgers, Wilson, and Luck at the moment. All right? I'm sorry, as much as I like you, Dave.
I respect that.
Hey, I realize where I'd rank as well among a lot of lists. When you look at these guys right now, and I get you can factor in Rodgers' calf injury or not. It's up to you. How would you rank these four quarterbacks at this time in their career?
I would probably have Rodgers much higher if he didn't have the calf injury, but he's still up there because I'm thinking, oh, they're going to have to pull this guy out of the game. He's missing some passes here and there, but man, he just continues to wheel himself, and then he just catches fire, and it's like now he can't miss any passes. He's not having to move at all, even throwing off the wrong leg at times and not being able to just use his lower body, but using all arm strength and still being on point with his passes. But I would probably have to say Tom Brady. I like Russell Wilson. I just, the way he's playing is, it's, you can't beat it. You know, he stays within the framework of his system, and he's really doing a great job for the age he is. I know he models himself after Drew Brees, so that's a good model to model yourself, a good quarterback to model yourself after. Aaron Rodgers, who's the fourth?
Andrew Luck.
Andrew Luck. Gosh, those are two young guys that I guess I would probably have to have Rodgers right now at four. I'd slide.
Four, because of the injury.
Because of the injury. Only because I don't know how he's going to come out in this next game on the road and perform. He has to go to Seattle and produce up there against a defense that is one of the best defense in the NFL, in the best crowd noise stadium in the NFL. I mean, I still think he's going to play a really good game, but I just don't think with his injury, I think they're going to apply too much pressure on him and make him move too much where he's not going to be able to stand in the pocket and even deliver from the pocket. But the way Andrew Luck is playing, I mean, I didn't like him at all coming out of the draft.
Really?
I didn't. I didn't think he had the arm strength. I thought the way he was throwing the ball and at Stanford, it always had an arc to it. It never was shot in there. But the way he's playing and the way he does deliver, every pass, it seems like it's on point. Even when he makes mistakes, he comes back from it and drives right back down the field, puts the ball in the end zone. He can move. He looks physically like a quarterback that can take the punishment, deliver the punishment, can get out and run if he has to. He's very smart with the ball. He'll scramble and pick up the yards that he needs. He'll move outside the pocket and throw with even better accuracy than he does from the pocket. And he just makes big throws all the time. He's pushes the ball down the field all the time, and then he checks it down when he has to. So with those guys, I mean, this is the best lineup that the NFL could possibly have. I mean, besides Peyton Manning.
And he had a shot.
Yeah, and he had a shot. So, and that last weekend was one of the best weekends that the NFL could have dreamed of, because everything, I mean, Dez Bryant making that catch, there has to be something. I don't want to go back and rehash anything, but there has to be some way to have this rule be able to be called by the ref and say that, okay, yeah, he didn't have, under the guidelines, he didn't complete the catch as far as after he hit the ground, after the three steps and jumping forward for the end zone. Like, there has to be a way to say that, no, that was a catch. The ground caused the ball to move around in his hands, but he still possessed it.
I heard, I don't know if it was Pereira or Blandino, was one of these guys. Might have been even somebody different.
Mike Carey?
Early in the week. Might have been Mike Carey. I'm not sure who it was. Talking about this, that what the NFL's fear is that they, if they allow the ground in that situation to have a completed catch while you're going to the ground, that they're afraid they're going to be all these fumbles now. Instead of, they'd rather have an incomplete pass than all these turnovers being caused by, you know, you're putting a receiver in a position where, boy, it's so hard when your elbows are crashing into the ground to maintain possession of the football and to have that be ruled a fumble. So that's the debate. But I think under the rules, and again, not to go too deep rehashing, under the rules, I think they called it properly.
They did, yeah.
I think the public sentiment is overwhelmingly in favor to do something different. Tony, how do you rank the four quarterbacks of the playoffs right now?
Man, I think based on what you've seen him do in the playoffs, you gotta have Tom Brady number one, right? I mean, he's still,
I don't know if
he's,
I do,
playing in his ninth AFC championship game. He's,
you don't
played
know
in
if
five
do.
Super Bowls.
His body of work,
if,
yes.
I'll say this. If Aaron Rodgers was 100% healthy, he'd be my one.
Yeah. No question. Yeah. But I think Russell Wilson, I might take over Tom Brady.
I don't know. And you know how
know,
much I love
Russ. Yeah, I don't know if I'm going, if you say, okay, you got a Super Bowl team that's loaded, now you have Tom Brady or Russell Wilson, I think I'm going with Tom Brady.
No, I'd still take Tom in that argument. And that's with it. Russell Wilson is my favorite player in the league to watch.
Yeah.
He is my absolute favorite player in the league to watch. Doesn't mean I think he's the best player in the league, but I love watching his game. And you were talking about Andrew Luck coming out and throwing all these little lollipop passes. And last Sunday or Saturday night, you're watching Seattle, and he throws those couple of rainbows. And when he lets it go, you're like, where is that going?
Yeah.
And then it's right on point.
Right on time.
I mean, it's perfectly placed where only his guy has a chance to go make a play. Russell's playing at a really high level right now, and it's the calf injury that throws everything off with this. Because if Aaron Rodgers was healthy,
he's best player in the game.
He'd be my number one.
Absolutely.
But with him not being healthy, I'd probably go Brady, then Luck.
Then Luck?
Yes. Then Russell, then Rodgers.
Wow, man, Russell, holy, see, I don't think Brady would be a better fit for the way Seattle plays football. Okay? Because Russ, they run that ground game, and then so much of their offense comes off rollout plays, and the guy ran for almost 900 yards this year.
Tom is not built to be in Seattle's offense.
Right.
So, but they could adjust it to where
sure
it
could.
Would fit for him.
Sure they could. And I
guess, don't know that they could do that in New England Russell.
Well, they would adjust it, and they would run things differently there, too. I mean, you know, I think Bill Belichick would find a way to use Russell Wilson.
Of course.
Probably. But that's the thing. It's really a great debate. I would probably put Luck last just because I think he's more prone to turnovers than these other guys at this moment in time. And that's not – we're talking about such thin margins between all these guys. Trust me. You would take any one of these, obviously, on the Jags or most teams in the National Football League. And I can hear the Blake supporters out there say, no, we wouldn't. Yes, you would.
Yeah.
Right now, you absolutely would if you know what you're talking about. But I think it's going to make for a fascinating weekend. And that, to me, right now, I think because of the injury, Russell Wilson might have a bit of an edge on Rodgers. Rodgers is a better player, period.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to win. I think the home teams win this week. What about you?
Yeah, I do too. I think his injury is going to show itself a little too much this weekend. I think Rodgers is he's still going to make plays, but I just think they're going to get to him. The crowd noise is going to be there. Just their team, I think Russell and his offense is going to put the pressure on them to have to produce more and more, and they're going to eat the clock up, and so it's going to really put a lot of pressure on them to have to throw the ball more and more. I see it being a great game, but I just see the injury creeping in a little bit more this weekend than it was this past weekend.
Yeah, John Fox, by the way, officially going to be the next head coach of the Chicago Bears. Worst kept secret from the moment he got released in Denver. That's just coming down the line right now.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history, January 15th. Let's go back to 1967, the first National Football League Super Bowl was played. Not really the Super Bowl at the time, but it's what's turned into the Super Bowl. The Green Bay Packers defeating the Kansas City Chiefs of the AFL with a final score 35-10. The game was televised by both CBS and NBC. Was not a sellout at the time. What, Tony, refresh my memory. Didn't they have the second half kickoff twice because one of the TV networks wasn't back out of commercial yet? I want to say that was the story with Super Bowl I.
I'm not sure, no.
I think that was the case. I think they kicked the game off, you know, had the run back. Fortunately, didn't go for a touchdown or something like that. And then one of the networks said, no, we're still in a break. And then so they had to line them up again and do the whole thing.
Oh,
over
wow.
Again.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they ironing out the kinks in those days. Bart Starr, MVP of Super Bowl I. 1978, the Super Bowl played indoors for the first time. A game played in the Superdome in New Orleans. Dallas defeating Denver 27-10. Randy White and Harvey Martin were co-MVPs in that game. Which is coincidental because happy birthday, Randy White. How about that?
Awesome.
Super Bowl MVP or co-MVP on your birthday,
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty spectacular.
That was my birth year, too.
He was, 1958? 78. Oh,
78. Okay. Oh, wow.
Randy White was 1953. He was 25 years old on that day. What a 25th birthday.
That's pretty cool.
That was. He's been a guest in the 1010XL studios before. As well. So there is this date football history brought to you by the best fence company of Jacksonville, fabricating and installing the highest quality fencing products for you at competitive prices whilst providing unsurpassed customer service. Check them out online at bestfencejacks.net or call for a professional free estimate at 268-1638. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
What are you supposed to get somebody for a 15th anniversary?
Paper?
What's the tradition? I thought that's the first.
Is it the first? I don't know. I knew that was something, a balsa wood?
We need to look it up. Whatever the 15th anniversary gift is, we need to look it up because it was 15 years ago today that the Miami Dolphins got thrashed. 62-7.
Oh, how nice for that.
Here in Jacksonville. So we'll figure out something that we can get those boys. The San Francisco 49ers yesterday were reported to be close to hiring Denver Broncos offensive coordinator Adam Gase, but today have announced that Jim Tomsula will be the next 49ers head coach. Tomsula has been San Francisco's defensive line coach since 2007 and filled in as the team's interim head coach after Mike Singletary was fired. There was supposed to be a hearing today between Ray Rice and the Baltimore Ravens regarding whether the team owes Rice more than $3.5 million for releasing him shortly after the video of what happened in that elevator was released to the public and a two-game suspension had already been announced. According to Mike Florio of ProFootballTalk.com, a league source with knowledge of the situation said that the two sides have settled. What that settlement is, we will probably never really know. The Indianapolis Colts have asked permission to place reserve linebacker Josh McNary on the exempt list after prosecutors filed charges of rape, criminal confinement, and bodily injury and battery, resulting in bodily injury. McNary's attorney says that the person he's representing, Josh McNary, unhesitatingly denies the allegations that he turned himself into police on Wednesday night, had actually preserved evidence for his own innocence when police had talked to him, so we'll see how that situation plays out. And finally, UCLA quarterback Brett Hundley has declined his invitation to play in next week's Senior Bowl.
Probably wanting to protect, I guess, his health, I suppose. What do you think? If you're Brett Hundley, Dave, you got Mariota, Winston Mariota, the consensus top two. He's kind of the consensus third guy right now. Do you take advantage of every opportunity to put something on tape?
I would. That's just me, but I didn't think I saw enough from him. He had a lot of accolades going into the season where he's supposed to be the one of the best quarterbacks. And
more that he fits the prototype. You know, he's got that NFL body.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
the
but,
arm, but
they all – so he should have looked like that. He should have produced. He should have won ball games, and he didn't. So I would think somebody should be telling him, go out there and show them that, hey, maybe it was the team – that is why you're not, you know, one of the top guys. Go
Blake
out there and show that. Yeah.
Blake threw at the combine.
Go out there and show them what you can do.
Go show that you're not afraid, right?
Exactly.
All these guys have insurance policies at this
point.
They do, right? I mean,
yeah.
If you get hurt in the Senior Bowl, maybe it's going to cost you some money, but it's not going to blow your one chance at making some football money. You know, I mean, so, look, it's his personal choice. I guess sometimes it works out that way. They don't, and they do. If he throws well at his pro day or at the combine or both, he'll have a chance to rehabilitate his stock.
Yeah, well, I just think some teams are gonna, you know, start to have little X's around your name when
Could
they
be.
See these kind of things like this, and so then you got to start trying to remove them in other events. And if you have too many of them, then, you know, you're just off their board, period, or later rounds.
Do you want to go traditional or do you want to go modern for the Miami Dolphins?
What's the traditional?
Traditional, we get them something, some crystal. It's pretty nice, the 15th, and it watches for the modern. Yeah.
So we could get them like a crystal photo frame or something like that of Brock Marion still chasing?
That would be good. That would be good.
Along those lines.
We can get him a swatch if you want to be cheap. Yeah, why not? My wife and I will celebrate our 25th anniversary, not our wedding anniversary,
okay.
But our first kiss.
Oh.
Coming up this year. That's when we first started dating. That's what we consider that our anniversary, more so even than our wedding anniversary,
wow.
Which is coming up in February, April 6th, 1990. We've been together since then. So,
congratulations.
Silver. Why, thank you.
Twice.
Hope I make it.
Yeah, you do too.
Hope I make it to April. Silver, both traditional and modern. So there you have it. You're right, Tony. Paper was the traditional first.
I learned that this year at the movies, believe it or not.
Paper?
Paper.
Yeah.
So some
that was
kind
in
of
Gone Girl. The
cash.
First anniversary gift was paper.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And the fifth anniversary gift, which is when everything occurred in the movie Gone Girl, is wood.
Right. Those are the traditional ones.
Yeah.
The modern ones are
I
clocks.
I do remember that now.
Yeah.
Clocks and silverware. Hey, honey, here's some spoons.
What? Is this from back in the colonial times?
Now, maybe is this the anniversary gifts that you exchange with your loved one, or just like if you're – because other people shouldn't get you anniversary gifts, right?
No, you don't.
You don't get
somebody's anniversary.
Your 10th is tin or aluminum, and they upgraded that to diamond jewelry. That seems like a pretty big leap.
It's a big jump.
Tin.
Yeah.
Here's some tin. And
I don't know that anybody has 10 anymore.
The world.
Maybe with the divorce statistics, they're like, we should really celebrate. 10 years is an accomplishment in today's society.
It's funny. The traditional one was wood on the 5th. Now it's wood on the 6th for the modern one. The 6th traditional one was candy or iron. Not an iron, but something made of iron.
What would you buy something made
know.
Of iron?
I don't know.
There's a new fireplace stoker.
There you
when does titanium come in? Wink, wink. Okay. All right, because I need a new set of clubs. And maybe the 26th, honey? I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know. So there you have it, this state in football history and the Honda drive around the NFL. We'll come back. Let's take a peek at Mel Kiper's mock draft. Speaking of prospects, I'll get your thoughts on Winston, Mariota, Cardale Jones. Intriguing. I don't think he's going to come out, but it's an interesting position that he's in right now because of the options that he has. He may go back to school and not even play. He could transfer to a Division II school or whatever they're calling it, FCS, right?
Yes.
It's still called FCS now, or whatever the case may be, or possibly even come out. Is he better off learning on the bench in college or learning on the bench in the pros? I think if he knew he was going to be the starter, he'd go back to Ohio State, no doubt, and get some experience. But we'll get into that coming up next and take a peek at Mel Kiper's first offering of the mock draft season. Mike Dempsey, David Garrard, Fat Tony here with you on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Mike Dempsey, David Garrard, Fat Tony here with you. Check out David Garrard's new gym, by the way. Retro Fitness expanding across Jacksonville, taking over the First Coast. Now open in the Harbor Village at Atlantic Boulevard in San Pablo. Know their fitness club that's going to give you more for your money. Memberships as low as $19.99 per month. You can stop by Retro Fitness today or visit retrofitness.com for a free pass courtesy of David Garrard. That's pretty cool. Kind of a little sampler check me out kind of situation, right?
Absolutely. You know, we want you to come in the doors and feel the excitement, the energy. The thing that separates us, I believe, is our staff and how much we care about our members. You know, we want to make sure that when you come in, you get a great experience every time.
You need to sell apparel because that is a serious, that is a sharp looking jacket, man. That is badass looking, and I think if you see, are you going to sell them?
We do. Yeah. Have a pro shop.
I think you'll do well with that.
All right, awesome.
I think you'll do well with that. I'm looking forward to your success in your latest endeavor there, Dave. Just give me before we get into Kuiper's first mock draft. Let's start with Jameis Winston. Okay. You're the Buccaneers. Jameis Winston, Mariota. That's your kind of your choice right now if you're going to go quarterback. What are your thoughts on those two?
Well, I think Jameis Winston is definitely the most ready. Just like everybody said that, he can throw all the passes, all of them from the pocket. He can read defenses. He can do stuff at the line. He can make plays. He can bring your team back from losing in crunch time. You know, he does it all. The thing you have to worry about him is his off-the-field stuff, of course. But even when he was going through all of his off-the-field stuff, he was still out there performing and playing and winning ball games. Now, I think he had a little bit more interceptions because of this. I think he was also, I think defenses were able to keep up with him a little bit more. They had a more sample package to be able to try to put him in some bad situations, but
is that concerning though? I mean, because his interceptions rose significantly.
They did, but he was able to get out of a lot of it too. And I think when you're going through as much as he was going through, then you're going to have higher interceptions. I guess, you know, I'm not sure.
Fortunately.
Yeah,
most people haven't gone through.
Most
of it's self-inflicted.
Yeah, but I just think when you get to the NFL, now you have your own set of things you got to deal with off the field, with too many people pulling at you, family, friends needing you. You're not able to just always just sit there and focus when you're young. But to be able to still compete at a high level and to get the job done most of the year, all the way up to the last game, even still then, you know, that was the one time that you finally saw he couldn't overcome a lot of his mistakes. But Mariota, but I still think he's the definitely the number one quarterback.
Winston is, you think?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mariota, I think, has more raw talent. I think he's just a victim of his system that he's in. But you see the pro style kind of heading that direction. But still, you got to be able to throw from a pocket. You got to be able to go under center. You got to be able to do a lot of those little things that he's not been asked to do. He's asked to get the ball snapped as fast as you can. So that means defenses can only play certain defenses. He's not seeing a myriad of different coverages, different blitz packages. So he's not been exposed to a lot of those things because of his offense. When you snap the ball every 16 seconds as a defense, you can't try to call a lot of things. You can't try to get a lot of blitzes called just because they're going so fast. And then he's doing a lot of the read option, a lot of play action from the shotgun, where it's just one or two. You know, there's not a full field package of reads that he's trying to go through. He's not seeing if the safety's dropping down and then getting to this guy because he's going to be open because of that coverage. So he has more. He's just more raw. He's a little smaller, a little slimmer, but is a really good athlete. Has enough of an arm to make all the throws. I just think he's going to need more time watching than he will be ready to go from day one. Now
it's tough to sit a number one overall.
I was going
to
say,
now
he still will be worked and pushed to be ready by the first day because, as you see, everybody's kind of getting kicked out there day one. I think he has the makeup to be able to get to that point. He just has further to go than Jameis does.
If you're the Bucs, what you know now, and obviously they'll go through the interview process and vet them as much as possible, would you take Winston today?
As much as it would hurt me as just a person, I think I would, just because I know that if I can get him to just not be so young and immature off the field, he has it. He's ready on the field. He's a great leader. You see that he's a, and he's more of a not a yeller. He's a more of a motivational leader where he's going to talk and scream and get guys pointed in the right direction, that kind of stuff on the field. He's not just a, where I think Mariota's more of a lead by example kind of guy. I think it's going to be tough for Mariota to get in people's faces.
Will veterans take to a rookie coming in trying to get in their face?
Well, you know, in OTAs, if you come in with that kind of bravado, you know, the guys are going to be like, hey,
you got to tone it down.
Listen, Rook, you're a rookie. Now, we respect you because you're the quarterback and you could be potentially the starting quarterback for the team, but let's do it this way. Don't come in barking out things. Now, if you're trying to get me in the right play call and you're trying to line me up because I'm lined up wrong, yeah, get me right. But, you know, you're not going to be yelling at me off the field. You're not going to be yelling at me in the locker room or, you know, those kind of, and I don't think he's yelling at guys that way, but, and he'll have to learn. He knows he's a rookie. He knows he can't come in and just, you know, be barking at guys like he's been here forever because he's still going to get, not pranked, but he's still going to have the little rookie things that he has to go through.
Mike Glennon will have him carrying his luggage.
Yeah, he definitely will. But, you know, and I don't know how Jameis is that kind of person. Is he willing to humble himself to say, you know what? Okay. That's fine with me. Cause I know somebody like Byron wasn't. He was not cool with that, but he was still a rookie and some of the older vets still made him do certain things. And me just being a year older than him, I didn't have him carrying my pads and all that kind of stuff. But once I got a little further along, like even Blaine, I had him carry my pads. He was number one guy, you know, but still, you know, I'm older now.
Right.
I know what's going on. You're going to carry my pads.
The quick
Cordell. Ball. Yeah, I want to talk about Cordell.
Yeah.
I love his physical ability. I love his arm strength. I love the way he can move with the ball, the way he runs guys over, takes hits, delivers hits. I just don't think he's ready mentally. You can see that when he drops back, and he's looking for guys to get open. When he doesn't like it, he's not ready to throw the ball. He's not ready to throw guys open. If he came to the NFL, which he could come off just talent alone, I think he would be more than just a year. I think he would be year two into his third year before he's ready because he's still young, too, in college. He hasn't played enough.
But you look at a situation like Denver, right, where they didn't know they're going to get Peyton Manning, but they drafted Brock Osweiler in the second round. And people are like, well, who would you want, Brock Osweiler? I mean, how do we know? Brock Osweiler may turn out to be very good. Mm-hmm. And they had the luxury, though, of sitting in behind a guy like that. I mean, if he goes to the right situation, my question to you is, though, how much do you develop? Would you be better off being coached by an NFL staff? Because I look at Stephen Morris, man. I mean, how many reps is this guy getting, right?
Yeah.
Nothing. How much can you learn? How much can you develop in that circumstance?
You can learn and develop, but I think that's more for a guy who's been through the reps in college, who's been through the games in college, that still is a little raw. That, you know, somebody like myself, who I played a bunch in college, but I needed that NFL coaching to get me to the next level in my game. Where I think Cordell has just, he only had three games, and so when I see him drop back, I just see him not always confused, but I just see him not sure enough of himself to let the ball go in tight windows, tight places, throwing guys open. I saw him more as, don't quite trust it, but I trust my legs. I trust my body. I trust getting
out. Which is probably how Urban said, one read.
Absolutely.
And get out of there.
But see that, you can't, that doesn't transition well.
I understand.
To the pros. And with that, if he gets here and he has those mistakes early on, even in OTAs for a guy that young, it could set him back even more because he doesn't have anything to fall back on.
Well, Tyler points out Cardale Jones is actually older than Braxton Miller. Braxton Miller has a ton more playing experience. Most people don't think Braxton Miller will play quarterback ultimately at the NFL.
And it's not really your age that has to do with
experience.
It. Yeah, it's
right?
Your experience.
Mel Kiper, quick look at his mock draft, first of the season. Jameis Winston, number one of the Bucs. He says, the bottom line, Winston is the most advanced on-field quarterback in the draft, and while the Bucs have a nice set of weapons for an emerging quarterback to utilize, there's little evidence they have a future franchise quarterback on the roster. Questions about Winston's maturity and off-field decision-making are more than fair and could have him written off some draft boards if he can't convince teams he can be a franchise leader. But on the field, you get a big, durable, mobile, strong-arm talent with a high football IQ and ability to read, anticipate, and process at a very high level what defenses are trying to do. I would not draft him with the goal of starting him in week one. His 2014 season proved there's work to be done, but if Winston realizes his potential, he's a possible superstar. That's his evaluation there. I'm not going to get into as in-depth with Mariota, but he's got Mariota going to the Titans, which that's the dream for the Jags. Quarterback, and let us have Leonard Williams or whoever we think is the top player on the board. He does go with Leonard Williams to Jacksonville, Tony, where he says, if you drop need and go on best player available, something I believe really does happen more and more. Wait a minute. That's what they told us. That's all that's ever happened in the NFL draft, liars. And he says, given the unpredictable nature of the QB position in particular, Williams is a contender to go number one overall in this draft. That seems to be a kind of a growing consensus that if you take away the added boost of the value of the position of quarterback, that Leonard Williams may be the best. I don't know if there's such a thing as a safe prospect, but the most, you know, blue chip prospect at any position in this draft. Have you seen him play much?
I haven't. But I'm going to go back and watch some YouTube film.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all are. I've watched a little bit of USC. I know he's a big guy with has versatility, I guess is the way to put it, that it's been described as he could play anywhere on the line. He can line up at right end, left end. I think he'd be a great, you know, understudy and situational substitution with Red Bryant. I mean, they'd both play, and he not only would play that spot, I think that's where he eventually would end up. He could play inside. We'll send Derek Marks is rehabbing that ACL. He could play on the other side. He could play pretty much anywhere. He's quick from, you know, what the scouting reports are, incredible strength, great size. I mean, they don't build athletes that big that can move like that very much.
You know what I'm big in now that I've, you know, learned over the years? I'm big into defensive linemen having motors. If you've got a motor and you have the ability, I take that over just as somebody that looks like a physical specimen that can make a play here and there and, you know, that can take over a game, but they've got to, you know, be feeling it that day. I want somebody that is just like Watt, who just continues to come from play one to the last play of the game. And I think Sendarek is one of those guys who is just always coming after you. Wilkerson for the Jets while I was there, he is that kind of guy. He is like, I don't care who's in front of me, I'm going to get to the quarterback by any means possible, and I'm going to do that from the start of the game to the finish of the game. And those are the guys, like, you like that guy that makes that big splash, but I want the guy that's going to be consistently getting into
relentless.
The back. Yeah, just relentless. That motor is what it is.
Oh, he's got Amari Cooper, who a lot of Jag fans are enamored with.
I like Amari, too.
Yeah, he's got him going to the Raiders, and Jack Del Rio with the fourth pick there. Randy Gregory. I mean, this is not anything outside the box compared to the other mock drafts you'll see right now. Randy Gregory, the pass rusher, different kind of pass rusher, tall, lean guy, does have a bit of a spotty injury history out of Nebraska. He's got Shane Ray out of Missouri, another pass rusher there, going to the Jets at six. Landon Collins. Do you take a strong safety in the top 10 these days in the National Football League? I mean, they thought Mark Barron was a can't-miss guy, and then they gave him away for chump change after drafting him in Tampa. But they got Landon Collins at 7. They got Dante Fowler Jr. out of Florida going to Atlanta at 8. Brandon Scherff, who something could be a guard, but listed as a tackle, is the top offensive lineman on the board. And, by the way, Kiper does point out that the Jags need O-line help, but he doesn't think the value at 3 is good enough. But I do think, you know, if you get some home run offer and trade down to the 10th spot, I think it opens up a lot more possibilities of where they may go.
So I'm going to ask you a question. What are your top two picks for the Jags that you think they should go? What direction?
I'm a little scared of Randy Gregory with the injury stuff there. Leonard Williams, I think, and I'm relying on scouting reports more than anything, more than what my own eyes have told me, would be a slam dunk number one guy at that spot. I don't have a consensus number two guy. I would not go wide receiver at that spot.
No, I wouldn't either.
I mean, they've got three guys who will be going into their second year and still need a lot of developing, by the way. They've got to go out and get a frontline type, or at least make a play for a frontline type wide receiver in free agency.
And that's what I was thinking. Don't use it in the draft. Get somebody in free agency or a top tight end in free agency if you can. Somebody that is a pass catching tight end. But I mean, what is your second round? Like your, they get Leonard Williams.
Like going down the line.
Yeah, who is your next?
Outside linebacker is a possibility. If you've got a guy there who's a difference maker, a lot of people like the guy to Mississippi State. Let me think of his name.
So you're going more defense.
I think he actually went in the first round of the mock.
Bernardrick McKinney. Yeah. People have been asking me about him. I didn't see a lot of Mississippi State this year, but I see him in the first round of almost every mock draft, somewhere in the first round. I'm open to the idea of a running back if you think you've done enough in free agency. They need to continue to improve this offensive line, though. And that, whether that comes in free agency, I've been touting Brian Bulaga. Bring him in. Put him at right tackle. You're going to make your line a lot nastier. Whatever the case may be, I mean, there are a lot of ways they can go. We all love Devin McCourty, the free safety for New England.
Yeah, with 3.5 months, we really don't know what it's going to look like in free agency. I haven't paid much attention to the safety position in this draft because the Jags are drafting 3, and I haven't started paying much attention to what's going to happen after that first round yet. But, I mean, if they don't get McCourty or another free safety, that's certainly a position they're going to have to address at some point in the draft.
And that's the only thing. McCourty's got – there's one of them.
Yeah.
So if you need one, he's the one. You're going to be fighting the whole league to get him, at least with tight end. Yeah, Julius Thomas may be the top prize, but there are several really good tight ends, or at least potential upgrades for the Jags. A lot of wide receivers. The question is how many of them make it to actual free agency, how many will re-up in the meantime. It's one of the things I'll talk about tomorrow with Matt Williamson from ESPN.com when he joins us. There's a quick peek at Mel Kiper's first mock draft. If you've got an ESPN Insider subscription, you can check out the entirety of it over at ESPN.com. Coming back, Fan Feedback Spotlight will ask you, and you'll reply as to what your favorite Super Bowl memory or Super Bowl game in its entirety was. We'll give you some of our thoughts as well. Plus, the top of the list Oscar nominees, they were announced this morning as well. Who are the best picture nominees as well as best actor, actress? Won't go too deep into it, but we'll throw a few of those out there for you as well. Mike Dempsey, David Garrard, and Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. I love a nugget of news from Ryan O'Halloran of the Florida Times Union. Jaguars Today co-host as well. Panthers have signed former Jaguar wide receiver Mike Brown to a future contract. He's a Jerry Sullivan favorite kind of guy.
I always like Mike too.
Oh, he's a good dude.
Yeah.
He's a solid guy. I mean,
we talked to him last year at the Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
He came out to New York.
There's no one aspect you look, you're like, wow, Mike Brown's special this. You know, he's pretty good in all areas, and I think the thing Jerry Sullivan liked about him, he always knew what his assignments were. You know, knew, could depend on him. He was reliable.
Half a coach.
Right.
You know, and when we were out there for training camp and the offseason with these young receivers, even if they weren't on the field, you could watch, you know, Mike Brown and Cecil Shorts, they'd run their reps, and then they'd come over and talk to the rookies about what they did, what they saw. Even when they weren't able to practice, they were still kind of coaching those guys away from what was actually happening on the field, which is why a guy like Sullivan likes a guy like Mike Brown so much.
All right, quick around the table, because I want to get to these Oscar nominees as well. Your favorite Super Bowl game or play, memory, moment, what? Do you have one?
Of course, New York Giants, 1990, Super Bowl. Somebody went wide right, and I think I've talked about it before. Norwood goes wide right. I mean, just the whole game, all the way from the start, Whitney Houston singing the national anthem, the flyover. We're in Desert Storm at that time, so there's a lot of just patriotism going on, and she just blew it out the park, and then we won. So that was my Super Bowl moment. Super Bowl game was great.
Tony?
Yeah, 47 yards in 1990. People today, that's kind of like, why did he miss that?
Right.
In 1990, 47 yards was still
not automatic.
Quite a long ways away for a field goal. I mean, for me, it's easy. It's Tyree. It's that catch. And that moment, which I've told the story before, I was at a friend's house for a Super Bowl party. I was a Giants fan, and when Eli got caught in the pocket, I actually dropped my head. So when the play ran live, I didn't even see it. The room around me just erupted, and I got tackled, and I looked up. I was like, what happened? Nothing positive could possibly happen on that play. And obviously, I've seen it over and over. I have the picture of it up in my house. I have the Sports Illustrated with David Tyree on it up in my house, framed and put up and all that. But yeah, pretty easily
forget,
David
Tyree. I saw it happen live, hustled down to the tunnel, because we're going to go talk to Coughlin, right? That was the angle. And I'll never forget Junior Seau coming off the look. He couldn't believe it. How did this happen? I mean, that was just, he was shell shocked at that point in time. For me, look, I don't remember the Jets winning the Super Bowl. You know, I've seen the pictures of Namath's finger wagging in the air. I've seen the video clip of it. But, the hater that I am, my best friend back in high school is a big Washington Redskin fan. Uh-huh. And he just would rub it in my face just as much as I would to him if I were in his position. And the Redskins were 14-2, Dave, in 83. They lose two games by a single point. That's how close they were to going undefeated. They lost to the Cowboys in the opening game. 31-30, I think it was, and they lost to Green Bay, I want to say, on a Monday night, like 48-47. They lose that Super Bowl 38-9. Marcus Allen did the reverse field run, and I just was, it was like I was a Raider fan for a little bit right then. Tyler, you young guy, do you have a favorite Super Bowl memory in your brief lifetime?
The first memory that I have was the Tennessee Titans coming up the yard short. That was the earliest and one of my most fine ones. The Tyree one was pretty cool. That one sticks out. But I think the Titans-Rams game was one.
I think that's probably a favorite of Jack fans.
I was going to say the same thing. In college, we're having a big college Super Bowl party. We got the little board where you put your money in. And at the end of every quarter, you see who won.
The squares,
Loved it. So I won one of the squares, and we're just having a great time. And the game, to come down to that moment and 2 yards away, I thought, wow, this is an that was an amazing game. So that was my second favorite.
The best game, and I was at this one in Tampa, was Arizona-Pittsburgh.
Oh, my God.
I think that was the best. I mean, just forget who you're rooting for. That was the best back
and
forth.
And we had
so many highlights.
When a couple weeks ago we were going over the best plays in Super Bowl history, and that the Roethlisberger to Holmes play isn't remembered the way that it should be.
Right.
What an unbelievable throw and catch.
Yeah.
In that kind
I think
of moment.
The Harrison play was higher on the board.
The Harrison play turned that game around.
It did.
Pittsburgh was out, but Arizona had all the momentum.
Yeah.
And driving in to try to get another score
right before the half. Yep.
And then he just, and it's like, push him out of bounds. The clock's already on zero. Just push him out of bounds. Push him out of bounds. Unbelievable game. Give us a couple quick ones that we got in on Twitter, Tony.
Here's what we got from Jag Fanatic, the one where the Titans lost by less than a football. Hashtag still bitter. From Ronald, Super Bowl 43, that great throw by Ben to Santonio Holmes that we were just talking about. Joey, Pittsburgh versus Arizona in 2008, into that game, made it an instant classic. Hashtag Dez dropped the ball. From Nick, the Giants versus New England when the undefeated Patriots got beat by the Giants. Hashtag 19-1, or it was 18-1, but hashtag in your face New England. Hashtag David Tyree gum catch. And I actually had 4 fantasy teams I named the next year that 18-1 ain't bad. So you know, I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, you see the picture that they had t-shirts of the 18-1 and the one was a guy's middle finger. Yeah. Hey, Patriots. 18-1 right here. All right, Oscar nominees out today. I told you I watched American Sniper last night.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. So good. Bradley Cooper, not a shock he's nominated for Best Actor. I haven't seen any of the other movies that he's in. Tony, give us a rundown. What do we got?
Yeah, American Sniper will hit theaters here in Jacksonville tomorrow. So for everyone who wants to see it, you finally can tomorrow. But it's up for Best Picture. Birdman, up for Best Picture.
I'm sorry, so did Mike leave town to
I live in St. Augustine.
He's a voter.
Oh, okay. I'm a member
he's
of
the voter.
Arts and Sciences.
Birdman, up for Best Picture. Boyhood, which actually won for Best Drama at the Golden Globes, up for Best Picture. And if you haven't heard the story behind how that movie got made, actually filmed over a 12-year period, watching the main actor. It was the same cast the entire time, watching him grow up. It's a really interesting concept. It's 2 hours and 45 minutes long, so plan your day around it.
Wow.
If you're going to watch it. But The Imitation Game, The Grand Budapest Hotel, the new film by Wes Anderson, Selma, The Theory of Everything, which is the love story with
Stephen Hawking.
Stephen Hawking, right? Yeah. Which I have no interest in seeing, and Whiplash, which is about an orchestra. I do believe.
Stephen Hawking's an interesting guy. I don't want to see his love story.
No,
okay. He signed a petition. I saw this yesterday. He and several other of the brightest scientific minds out there just signed either a petition or a paper urging responsible development of artificial intelligence. They're really like, hey, Skynet could happen, okay? I mean, now I'm exaggerating the fact, but that's really what they're saying. Hey, there need to be restrictions in place if you actually can create machines that think for each other. I mean, that's where his mind is on some of this stuff right now. So.
Really quick, best actor nominations, Michael Keaton for Birdman, Benedict Cumberbatch for The Imitation Game, Eddie Redmayne for The Theory of Everything, Bradley Cooper for American Sniper, and Steve Carell. That's right. Michael Scott is up best actor for Foxcatcher, playing a completely different role than anything you're used to seeing from him. Best actress, Felicity Jones in The Theory of Everything, Rosamund Pike for Gone Girl, Julianne Moore for Still Alice, Reese Witherspoon for Wild, and Marion Cotillard for 2 Days and 1 Night. And really, the other notable thing about the nominees, when you get the best animated feature of the year, this is ridiculous. The Box Trolls, Big Hero 6, How to Train Your Dragon 2, Song of the Sea, and The Tale of Princess Kaguya. What you didn't hear there was the best animated movie of the year, which was The Lego Movie.
Yeah, and when you told me that, I didn't even remember that it came out in 2014.
It came out in January, which is why movies never get a January release, because they get forgotten about
by
the time you get through an entire year. Like, American Sniper was released in New York in December so that they could get it out for this Academy Award season. It's being released wide in January. The Lego Movie was a January release straight up, so it's officially under the 2014 award season. It didn't win for Best Animated Feature at the Golden Globes. It's not even nominated at the Oscars, which is flat out ridiculous. That movie was just so much fun. I still have friends that we sing Everything is Awesome.
Everything is awesome.
That's right. I mean,
Everything
it just happens.
Cool.
But and Jake Gyllenhaal not getting a nomination for Best Actor for Nightcrawler. If you saw it, you know exactly why.
He did.
So unbelievable. And my favorite movie of the year, not nominated for anything, but my favorite movie of the year is not one that everyone loves. The Raid 2 is my favorite
movie of the year.
The Raid 2.
What was The Raid 1?
It's a martial arts movie from Indonesia. So it would be under Best Foreign Film. If you like action movies, I'm telling you, you need to check out The Raid and The Raid 2. But my favorite film of the year gets no love from the Oscars. I wasn't expecting it to.
All right, there you go. Everybody go see American Sniper when it opens in theaters tomorrow. If you're not a member of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences.
I will,
and
sir.
And you don't get those preview screeners like some do. All right, that does it for us today. Thank you to David Garrard. Good to see you again.
It's been great, fellas.
Good luck with Retro Fitness again. Give me the location one more time.
It's at Atlantic Boulevard in San Pablo in Harbor Village Shopping Center.
Go stop in there, say hello to David Garrard, and check out the brand new Retro Fitness here in Jacksonville. For Fat Tony, Tyler Devitt, and Joe Fortunato, that does it for Jaguars today right here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.